This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 253 in the series. This session of the radio show shares my conversation with Patricia Trish Collados, the nurse at the Franklin Senior Center. Our conversation was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to our social distancing requirements for this pandemic period. We talked about some of the virtual services provided by the Senior Center. Some are being added. And about the mental challenges to keep the synapses going that they're introducing. They are also beginning to look at what it would look like to reopen, how many could come in, what meals and the seating would be like, etc. This will take some time, but they're starting now. We also talked about Trish's experience giving blood recently and how the need is there to donate blood if you can. The process is set up to take blood safely, and to adhere to all the requirements around social distancing, cleanliness, etc. Our conversation runs around 26 minutes, so let's listen in. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. Today we're joined by Trish Collados, the nurse from the Franklin Senior Center. Trish, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. Doing very well. Obeying our new rules and regulations to keep everybody safe and healthy. It's been a challenge for everyone, and we have to just continue to do what we're told to do and be supportive of each other.
Absolutely. And for you, who are certainly on the front line in the health arena, I'm sure you've had some experiences of changes. You know, it's hard to deliver what you're going to do when you have to do it remotely.
Yes, very much so. We did have a call today with the department heads at the Senior Center discussing how, in a way, how things will be different when the time comes. And each and every department, whether it's the gym or my office, food, activities, everything is going to have to be rethought, and we're going to have to have new policies in hand. So it's something that we're kind of working on now with the anticipation of hopefully someday in the next couple of months we'll be able to open up and bring back the Senior Center to all the people that love to be there, need to be there. And so we're working great efforts in every department to hopefully bring that back. So that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and I know that there are some folks that are kind of antsy and hoping to get, you know, tomorrow or sooner, but realistically, that's not likely to happen. And just thinking through, you know, my own experience of the Senior Center, even the breakfast or lunch, you know, those tables, there may be some restrictions around how close you can sit. You may not be able to have as many people at a table.
That's correct. And the space to it, and, you know, and how many people, you know, are we going to be limited how many people can come into the center. You know, these are all questions we're all trying to figure out and work out, and because we want it up and running and bring everybody back too. You know, we miss everyone. Yeah, we definitely don't miss anyone. You know, we're trying to call as many folks as we can just to do social calls, making sure everybody's okay, that they're safe, they have something to eat, they have plenty of food. So, you know, if we're missing folks and they're listening to this, if you know, want to call the Senior Center and leave your phone number and we can get back to you, we would love to be able to do that. Unfortunately, a lot of our information is in our offices and we're not allowed in our office. The center's completely closed.
Locked up. That complicates things when you have paper files in some cases. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so lesson to us all that I guess we, not something you want to bring home with you every single day, but things will change. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Things will change.
You probably are aware, but there was, I think it came out through the Veteran Services about a to-go bag to have it ready just in case an individual was going to have to go to the hospital with the possibility of being, you know, coalesced or quarantined, et cetera, to have some preparation with them, you know, phone charge or things of that sort, whatever.
Yeah, very true. They did put a list out of things, you know, to have with you that, because once you're in there, it's almost impossible to get anyone to bring something to you. You know, the staff at all the hospitals are doing everything they can to keep that personal touch with their families. Very important. Important aspect.
Yeah, that's the key. And certainly as people have been reading via and or checking on the media, as I have been reading as well, trying to find out as much as I can to be aware of this
the parties and, you know, weddings in some cases that happened, you know, in January and February turned out now to have been kind of the hot spots. You know, who knew that, you know, dancing and having fun was going to have such a consequence later, but at that time they didn't know.
No, there's been several stories about, you know, in New Jersey about this one particular family, you know, that they lost several members of their family because of having their wedding. They, no one knew at the time that this was going to be an issue.
Sure.
You know, a mega issue at this point. So moving forward, you know, with things, spring is a very, very popular, fun time, a lot of celebration, a lot of milestones. And unfortunately, a lot of them either are canceled, postponed, because of not of the timing, and everyone will have to think about doing things differently.
Yes.
So it's being open-minded and trying to be safe at the same time.
Yeah, and the distancing, hand washing, you know, the individual personal hygiene pieces. One of the things that you can probably corroborate it. The hand washing actually does two things. One, certainly it prevents the virus from infecting you or having an effect on you. But the soap actually kills the virus so that it also doesn't spread elsewhere too.
That's correct. You know, and your simple basic hand washing is more than just a basic thing now. It's a necessity. It is a necessity.
Yeah.
You know, and doing it the right way
of course
is very helpful.
20 seconds or more.
Yep. Sing a song. Yep. Think about it, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good, healthy lather.
And lots of friction.
Yes.
Lots of friction in between. Yeah, absolutely.
So aside from starting to plan about reopening and what would that would look like, I'm assuming you're still doing some remote things or trying to add and expand some remote things in the meantime.
Yeah, we are. You know, each one of us at the Senior Center who, you know, has their own little departments is always trying to find things for people to do or to have people learn something. Our website has been great. We have a Facebook page. There's so many different things at different levels of things that people can do. We are in the midst of doing what's called a cognitive challenge for people, where we have a list of, I think it's like 7 to 9 things that you can do at home to increase your cognitive status and challenge your brain. This is just things that are everyday things that we don't think about, that we take for granted, and our brain gets very accustomed to that. So if we do something like eating with your opposite hand, whether it's ice cream, macaroni and cheese, something that's not gonna spill off your spoon, these are challenges within your brain that you can be doing at home that is something out of your routine. Some of them are fun. Most of them are fun. It's thinking out of your own routine box, which is very, very important. One of those, which I, when I do teach the balance and safety class, I always think about the cognitive aspect of it too. And I told people in the past, go to a grocery store that's not your normal grocery store and buy 4 things on your list, but don't rush. So they have the time to be able to learn a different grocery store, so your brain is like stimulated in a sense. Mm-hmm. So these are all kind of little things that promote good, healthy cognitive challenges.
Certainly.
So that's something that's going to be on our website. Ariel, who runs our Sunshine program, she's been putting things out on our website also. And Maggie, who deals with our hard of hearing and our people who are deficits with vision, she's working on a lot of programs. We also trying to do a virtual coffee hour. So we are in the midst of trying to get that all together. So folks from the center or anyone who really wants to be involved, we're going to do it through Zoom. Can just do like a little chit chat coffee hour. We're going to try to do that once or twice a week. So that's one of the programs that I'm going to be working on, just to get people so they can see people, talk to people, and we can know what they need and what is it that we can help them with. Also too is, an audiobook club. That's something that we already have going.
That's
we have it with our impaired people. We're thinking about opening that up to more of a bigger audience, and probably doing it even maybe possibly with the library.
Yeah, I think in my last discussion with Karen, as she was reviewing the revision to the newsletter and the programs that were coming out in April, I believe she mentioned that. And yeah, that is a collaboration. They're at least using the same application as the library, so
yes.
that and the same book, I think, or at least in the same cycle. So if you miss, say, the session on, say, if I don't know exactly what the date is, but if it was on a Tuesday here for the senior center, but it was on Thursday at the library, you could still have read the book and still participate in the discussion one way or the other. So create a little more flexibility.
Yeah. And this way, you know, people can capture it when it's convenient for them. You know, we're trying to do our best with technology and trying to make it as simple as possible. You know, to make it easier to people to access through either their phone or their home computer or their iPad. You know, sometimes I may need a little help from a grandchild, but that's okay. We want to make it as simple as possible so people can be able to participate in these programs.
Yeah, because as much as we have to maintain that social distance, we still need the social aspects.
Oh, most certainly. We're most certain. And that's what we are very concerned about our people. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because being active keeps you physical, keeps your brain going. So, you know, like I said, we're all working on different aspects of trying to keep things more active for our members.
And I'm intrigued at even the simple idea of, you know, doing something differently, clearly unintentionally, but deliberately as part of the social distancing. A lot of the food stores have implemented kind of the one-way aisles.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it used to be, oh, if I wanted those four items, I know exactly which way to go. Now, in some cases, I have to go differently because I can only go one way, not the other way.
Yeah. And sometimes people aren't aware of their little arrows on the ground because who walks around with their head down? One of the things that we teach in our class, you do not walk with your head down.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So those are different things. And I did write on there, you know, when it is allowed for us to go back to resume that that shopping aspect of it.
Absolutely. You know? But then the other fun piece, you know, a little bit of ice cream, especially as it gets a little warmer, you know, I'm definitely up for ice cream anytime. You know, I'm a big kid.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with ice cream? But just, okay, now I have to eat with my left hand. That's going to be interesting.
That'll be a challenge. But there's just some fun things on there. You know, even think making in your head, all the places that you have lived, all the addresses, not where you have lived, but remembering the addresses. So going back in your subconscious of, oh my goodness, I did. What was the address? So it can really get your wheels turning. You know, you know, there's always that wonderful thing about talking or thinking about something that your family doesn't know about you, whether good or bad, you know? I mean, it's something 30 years ago, how bad can it be, you know? So just different little mind games and something to create conversation with people in your own home, because after a while, you've already talked about everything, and sometimes it's good to have that new cognitive conversation.
Absolutely. And from networking experience, I know we've customized a kind of a bingo card for networking and then themed it around certain things. So combining that with something else I had picked up somewhere along the line, it was an interesting challenge. What were your first seven jobs?
Wow.
I really had to think back. Okay, how did you define a job? Okay, so it was my paper route. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I delivered papers first, and then you have to kind of walk through that in itself. That was eye opening to see.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When you go back and you think, like for myself, I think my first job worked in one of those photo map booths.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm thinking, oh, I couldn't ever do that. Now I'd go crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But it all, yeah, when you think back and, you know, you didn't think twice about doing those kind of jobs. You're young and, you know, you're vivacious and yeah, it's very interesting. Interesting.
And at that time it was a good decision because your world was still expanding.
Yeah.
I know I went from, you know, nothing to, you know, it was a dollar something per week for the subscription, but you know, that was back in I'm aging myself, so that was in the late 60s. You know, there are no newspaper boys these days that go door to door to deliver newspapers. So that's a job that's kind of gone
by
the wayside.
That's right. Do you remember having they had the little book where they It was, and the, I remember this little book that you used to tear off the thing, like a little tab or something. Yeah, I vaguely remember that now. Like, holy cow.
Yep. Yeah. We had our address book as to the route, right? So we knew which way to go, up one street, down the other street, how many papers you would get. We always teased because my sister was notorious. She only would collect from her customers when she needed money. Whereas some of us were more regular. She just decided, well, you know, and I just, Joan, come on. That's not good for us. You know, if we take that route, they're going to be lazy. They're not going to be playing regularly.
Yeah, but it's a memory. It's a memory that I'm sure her children and grandchildren would love to hear that story.
Yes.
You know? Yep. So sometimes going back in our subconscious that may not be important to us is so important, and it brings out someone's characteristics of their personality at that time.
Yeah, and then you can just start doing, especially if you're doing some virtual thing, that could be like, you know, kind of the icebreaker, you know, list your seven jobs, and then in the group saying, okay, who did paperboy? Who did ice cream counter? Who did, you know, millwork? Who did, you know, upholstery? Or who did a photo booth, right?
Right, right, exactly.
and then you start finding out, oh, you did too, really?
Yeah, it's a really nice conversation set too. Yes,
definitely,
yeah. So, Steve and I had a little conversation before we started this program, and I wanted to talk about blood donations.
Yes, very important.
Yes, and this is the time of year that we always ask for more blood donations because summer's coming, and it are 90 days of when most accidents happen is in the summertime. So blood drives are always booking more during this time of year. But now with COVID-19, we know that we are more in need of blood. So I donated blood in Millis at a gym. The gym was closed, but they had a section there for people who are donating blood. And I had to wait a month to get an appointment.
Yeah.
Because I jumped on this.
Yeah, that was one of the things Franklin had announced. I think it was last week that there was going to be one, I think, at the Latter-day Church. And the appointments booked up almost, you know, within hours.
Oh, yeah. And so, and the experience was wonderful. Everyone was kept at a safe distance. It was run so smoothly and there was no ill effects. It was a great, great experience. So I'm encouraging people to sign up and do a blood donation. The Adirondack Club is going to have theirs in June. We were in the midst of scheduling a blood drive before the coronavirus started. So once we are up and running and we get the okay, we are going to do a blood drive easy, you know, a blood drive for us also. But it is the most, it is one of the little things that we can all do that really helps out so many people. There is a criteria, there's no doubt about it. If you've been on antibiotics or, you know, they'll run through that with you, you know, as you go to donate or even on their website. They do take your temperature beforehand. They ask you a bunch of questions. It really is a very safe environment.
At some point, either as part of that, I'm assuming you're getting tested for COVID as well, because clearly they may not have the results immediately, but they probably wouldn't distribute the blood if you ultimately did turn up positive.
Yeah, they do a lot of, before they, you know, donate, blood goes into a person. There's a lot of testing it does go through, mm-hmm. a lot of testing, because it is a liability. However, I'm sure with the whole new technology with COVID, I'm sure they will be looking for antibodies for people who are not symptomatic.
It's one of the other things that certainly has started coming up. Because, and I had done something similar to that several years ago with a plasma donation.
Right.
That from what I understand, there are certainly, if you test positive, and again, there's some dispute perhaps around which test is the one that says you do have the positive antibodies that would be beneficial. There was one thing I had heard that potentially your donation could help three others. So that would be a nice kind of multiplication factor if that was indeed works out. Certainly one for one is great, but if you can do more than one, that's fine.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a great way to give back without a lot of effort, you know, or putting yourself in danger or anything like that. It's a really, really great thing. It was a great experience. I was a little apprehensive thinking how they're going to keep us all apart and all that, but they did a fantastic job.
Good.
Fantastic job. So I highly recommend it. They're easy to navigate through their website. And if you have trouble with the website, call and make it, there's someone there to talk to. They will make an appointment for you. So if you don't have an iPhone or you don't have a computer, you can do everything verbally over the phone.
Redcrossblood.org. You can certainly Google it and yeah, find the phone number and call as well.
Yeah. And with this, you'll find out what your blood type is too, which is kind of nice.
That I do know. Yeah. I'm one of the prime O positive.
Yeah.
So O positive. I'm a universal.
You're a universal donor. Yeah. That's great. That's great. You know, and as you go on, they call it the blood journey. And you'll actually be able to see like where your, how and where your blood is going to. So It's called a blood journey, and it's an app that you have on your phone. But again, you don't have to have all this technology to donate blood. You can Correct. Just call.
Yeah, and it's not something you can do every day. From what I recall, and again, I think I mentioned as we started talking about this, because I had to travel internationally, I had to quarantine myself at least for a year. That period is over, so I'm back in the pool, so to speak, and starting to getting the phone calls. So
good.
I will queue up to do my duty. Civically as well as health-wise.
Yeah.
I think it's 6 to 8 weeks.
I think it's 56 days. I think it's 56 days.
Which would work out to the 6 to 8 weeks, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So I did it last week. I already made my appointment at the Aranda Club in June. So
good.
It kind of works out well. So just, you know, everyone wants to feel they want to do something. And it was really, really easy. No ill effects, kept them safe, not a problem.
No. And of all things, certainly blood is the water that keeps us all going internally. And obviously it's composed a lot of water, but it's amazing how quickly, you know, over the 6 weeks or so, the body rebuilds that quantity of what you donated. So we are truly alive as long as we can be.
And right.
As long as we stay healthy, of course, which is why we want to do the distancing, washing, and all that kind of good stuff we talked about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's something to feel good about right now, you know, with everything that's going on. So we've had a lot of activities that were going to be scheduled for, you know, April, May, and June. We have contacted all our people that were coming in to do different things for us, and we're rescheduling them for the summer. So, you know, we're still working on our programming and what we're going, different people we're bringing into the center as far as, you know, entertainment or new craft or, you know, education-wise. So, you know, we're going to be bringing them. So we've been in touch with all these people. So our newsletter is still filled with information. A lot of it, we're just waiting like everybody else is waiting so we can open our doors and run out.
Yeah, I talked with Karen a couple of weeks ago to get into kind of the April updates. And I'm assuming sometime next week or whenever is appropriate, we'll get into the May calendar. Because I'm sure, especially everybody's waiting to hear, well, May 4th, but it's not likely we're going to open then. So what's going to be the date and what's that going to do with the dominoes as they roll out, so to speak. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But we're in it. We're in it together, socially at a distance, of course.
Yes. Yes, we are. So, you know, like I said, our website, our Facebook page has lots of information, you know, for not just our seniors, but for anybody. For anyone who's interested in, and we've got the time now, so we might as well see what things are like. Mm-hmm. So think out of your box and say, hey, let me look at the Facebook pages of the Franklin Senior Center and what's going on there right now or what's going to be going on in their future. You know, And again, we're very fortunate. You only have to be 50 to participate and be a member of our senior center.
My mind was going to say, let's mention that in case people haven't heard that. And you read my mind, so that's good.
That's my campaign.
50 you know? Plus.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if somebody's 49.9, you won't turn them away.
But. No, not at all. Not at all. No, not at all. Hey, you know, it's a great facility. It's a great place. And people need to know about it.
We'll do our portion to help.
Thank you.
Well, I think we've covered a bunch of things here. We've talked about some of the remote services. We'll put an extra plug in there so that if you haven't got a phone call from the senior center recently, maybe they don't have your phone number. So call them so you can leave your phone number. And then you can get a check-in, quote, wellness call or whatever it is. But you can get a regular call. You talked about some upcoming events and the good reminder on the blood drive.
Yes.
Anything else to add before we close out?
Not at this point. Everyone keep your social distance, follow the CDC regulations. I know it's all people get frustrated and I understand it, but the sooner we all participate this, the better off we're going to be. And the sooner we can get out of this situation.
Keeping our health and not losing as many people as we can avoid losing. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for your time. I'm sure we'll schedule some more time in a couple of weeks or so and pick up what the latest is at that point.
All right. That's great, Steve. Thank you. And good health to all.
This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but I can't do it alone. I can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like this, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements, and I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is entitled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy.